Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. jagat ka re re hare ram hare ram 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 hare 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 krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram hare ram 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 hare hare Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Krishna. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari
ಗೋಪಿಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಹರಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರಿ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರಿ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರಿ ಹರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಾಯ 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 ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಾಯ ಜಮ ಶ್ರೀಪಾದ ಪರಮಂಸ್ ಪರಿವಾದಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಕೃಷ್ಣಕುಮಾರ ಮೂರ್ತಿಯ ಭಯಚನಾಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಕಿ ಅನಂತಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವೃಂದಕಿ ರಾಜಕನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಅಂತಾಯ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದೇ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಅಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ Canto 6, Chapter 8, Text Number 16 and 17. Text Number 16 has no purport, so I'll just read the translation. May Lord Narayana protect me from unnecessarily following false religious systems and falling from my duties due to madness. May the Lord, in his appearance as Nara, protect me from unnecessary pride. You should have told me. Anyways. Prompt. Okay. So, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text Number 16. Okay. So Sukadeva Goswami continued, text number 16. My dear Parikshit, when Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, he descended from his airplane. bowed before her with great humility, and pleased her completely. Text 17.
Chitraketu uvacha pratigrahani nite sapam pratigrihan nami te shapam pratigrihanami te shapam Atmano ajalin ambike Atmano ajalin ambike Atmano nijala nija sorry Atmano nijalin ambike Devai martyaya yat proktam Devai mrityaya yat proktam Purva dishtam hitashyatat Purva dishtam hitashyatat Chitraketur uvacha Pratigrihnami te sapam Atmano ajanim limbambike Devai mrityaya yat proktam Purva dishtam hitashyatit Chitraketu uvacha Pratigrihnami te shapam Atmano ajalin limbambike Deve mrityaya yat proktam Purva dishtam hitashyatat Chetraketu uvacha Pratigrihnami te shapam Atmano anjalinambike Devai mrityaya yat proktam Purva dishtam hitashyatat Chitraketu vacha Pratigrihinami te shapam Atmano anjalinambike Devai mrityaya yat proktam Purva drishtam hitashyatat Chitraketu uvacha Pratigrihnami te shapam Atmano anjalinambike Devai mrityaya yat proktam Purva dishtam hitashyatat Chitraketu uvacha King Chitraketu said Pratigrihnami I accept Te your Sapam curse Atmanaha my own Anjalina with folded hands Ambike, O Mother, Devahi, by the demigods, Mrityaya, unto a mortal, Yat, which, Proktam, prescribed, Purvadishtam, fixed previously according to one's past deeds. He, indeed, Tasya of him, tat that. Purport, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, ki. Chitraketu said, my dear mother, with my own hands folded together, I accept the curse upon me. I do not mind the curse, for happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of one's past deeds. Arpat. Since Chitraketu was a devotee of the Lord, he was not at all disturbed by the curse of Mother Parvati. He knew very well that one suffers or enjoys the result of one's past deeds as ordained by Daiva Netra, superior authority, or the agents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knew that he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or Goddess Parvati. Yet he had been punished, and this means that the punishment had been ordained. Thus the king do not mind it. A devotee is naturally so humble and meek that he accepts any condition of life as blessings from the Lord. Taktenu kampam shum shikshumana. Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee always accepts punishment from anyone as the mercy of the Lord. If one lives in this conception of life, he sees whatever reserves occur to be due to his past misdeeds, and therefore he never accuses anyone. On the contrary, he becomes increasingly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his being purified by his suffering. Suffering, therefore, is also a process of purification. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this connection that one who has developed Krishna consciousness and who exists in love with Krishna is no longer subject to suffering and happiness under the laws of karma. Indeed, he is beyond karma. The Brahma Samhita says, Karmani nirdhati khintu cha bhakti bhajam. A devotee is free from the reaction of his karma because he has taken to devotional service. The same principle is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.26, Sargunan Samtitaitan Brahma Bhuyaya Khalpate. One who is engaged in devotional service has already been freed from the reaction of his material karma and thus immediately becomes Brahma Bhuta or transcendental. This is also expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.21, Shiyante Chashya Karmani. Before attaining the stage of love, one becomes free from all the results of karma. The Lord is very kind and affectionate toward his devotees, and therefore a devotee in any condition is not subjected to the results of karma. A devotee never aspires for the heavenly planets. The heavenly planets, liberation and hell, are non-different for a devotee, for he does not discriminate between different positions in the material world. A devotee is always eager to return home back to Godhead and remain there as the Lord's associates. His ambition becomes increasingly fervent in his heart, and therefore he does not care about material changes in his life. Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Maharaj Chitraketu being cursed by Parvati should be considered the mercy of the Lord. The Lord wanted Chitraketu to return to Godhead as soon as possible, and therefore he terminated all the reaction of his past deeds. Acting through the heart of Parvati, the Lord who is situated in everyone's heart, cursed Chitraketu in order to end all his material reactions. Thus Chitraketu become Vitrasura in his next life and return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnanam Timirandasya Jnanam Janashalakya Chakshur Unmritam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitenya Bhutale Svayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapandantikam Pancha Kalpataru Bhakshakupa Sindhu Beva Chapatitanam Pavane Bhavaishnav Vinonama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advait Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So whatever I'll be speaking, you might have even heard in many of the classes. It will just a repetition of what you have heard. So it's just... But the reason I am speaking this thing again because certain thing doesn't stick in the mind at once immediately for me. So by repeating those words again and again, it helped me to have a better understanding of those statements. It is said in Bhagavatam, Nahi Anyo Jushito Joshyan Buddhi Brahmshurajoguna Shri Madad Abhijit Adir Yatra Stri Dyutam Ashwaha. The meaning of this verse is, among all the kind of attraction in the material world, the attraction of riches
is the most bewildering. The attraction of riches bewilder one's intelligence more than one born in the aristocratic family, one having beautiful bodily features, or one being very learned. If the person is uneducated, but is falsely puffed up by his wealth, the result is that he uses the wealth in three different things. Stri, that is women, dyutam, gambling, ashvaha, wine. Now same was the condition with Chitraketu. He was not doing any wrong thing. He was not using his money or wealth in stri, dyutam, ashvaha, but he was proud of his accomplishment. He was puffed up. And because of his pride, he forgot who he was, where he was coming from, how he was suffering in the past, and by whose mercy he got the benediction. By whose mercy he got a benediction from Lord Shankarshan. And by whose mercy he was getting opportunity to see Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. It is said that Lord Shiva is the most elevated Vaishnava. Vaishnavanam yatha shambho. Among all the Vaishnava present on the anywhere in the universe or world or all the universes, Lord Shiva is the most elevated Vaishnava. Similarly, Mother Parvati, she is the proprietor of Devi Dham. So they were very powerful Vaishnava. And because of his pride, he has created offense on very great exalted Vaishnavas. Last week I told that no one can approach Krishna without being completely pure. And Krishna has created the same situation with Chitraketu. He wants Chitraketu to get purified before he come back to Krishna's abode. So he created a situation where he get curse from Mother Parvati and he purify himself by taking the birth as a demon, Vitrasura. For example, we take the analogy of iron rod. When the iron rod is kept in the fire, it start taking the quality of fire. But it doesn't happen that when we touch the iron rod initially, when we put in the fire, it will burn our finger. It may not burn the finger. But as the time passes, the successive time period, as the time passes, like 3, 4, 5, 1 month, iron rod get all the qualities of fire. So even when you touch the iron rod, our finger will burn. The same is the condition of the devotees. That kind of purity Krishna is expecting, that when the devotee is totally pure, is engaged in the service of Krishna, he's attached to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can at once purify or scantify the person who come in touch with him. Yada pada samaya ashraya shuta munaya prasamma ayanaha sadhya punanti upaprishta swarduni apaya anusveyaya. Means the person who is engaged in devotion service, he at once can scantify or purify the person who come in contact with him directly. But the same thing, river Ganges or mother Ganges can do the same work after a prolonged time. That is a quality of devotee. And this statement from you has struck me a lot. I think we are going on book distribution. And once you told that no one can give Krishna without having Krishna in the heart. Without holding Krishna in the heart, you cannot give Krishna to anyone. So without being pure, Krishna can come to anyone's heart. But without being pure enough, the Krishna will never enter that heart. And without getting Krishna in the heart, we cannot give Krishna to anyone. We have heard that this verse often many times, that karmana deva netrena. Here it is even deva netre. Karmana deva netrena jantur deho papattaya. And what is that? Striya pravashati udaram pumsha retakan ashraya. That because of our work and by the arrangement of superior divine prakriti, we get the birth. The soul is forced to move inside the womb of mother by the semen particle of the male. But in Bhagavad Gita 4:19, It is said that when devotee is doing a nishkama bhakti, who is engaged in devotional service, all his fruits of reactions, all his karmic reaction get burned off by the fire of knowledge. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita 640, 641, 642 and 643, Krishna is saying something. In 640, Krishna says to Arjuna that one who has taken this path of yoga, this devotional service, will never be bereft of any benefits. And what is that? In the next verse, 640, when he says that the yogi or a devotee who has taken this devotional service for a short time and he fall down, what will happen to that? Prapya punya kritam lokan. He will live in the land of pious people like Swarga Loka or any other Loka for many years. And after that, he will get a birth in the family of Suchinam Srimatam Gehe, either a Brahmin or a wealthy aristocratic family, so that he will get a chance to continue his Krishna consciousness. So there is no question of falling down over there. And the person who has practiced the yoga for a long time, what will happen to that yogi? That he will get the birth in the family of a skillful person. Atva yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam. That he will get the birth in the family of a skillful yogi. And where he has given a chance. So Krishna consciousness is so subtle and so sublime that we will not be affected by the actions of our karma. Our karmic action will burnt off, but Krishna will make such a certain arrangement that we can continue our Krishna consciousness in our next lives also. And this was happening with Chitraketu. By giving the birth as a demon in his next life, Krishna was burning off all his karmic reaction and he was helping him to get back home, back to Godhead as fast as can. And after getting the curse from Mother Parvati, Chitraketu never protested. He accepted the curse. He remained neutral. And he just remained as if nothing has happened. So that means he immediately come to the self-realized platform. He come immediately to the Jnana platform. It is said that Taktenu Kampam is written in this. Taktenu Kampam Sumashikshamano. This is a very beautiful verse. When we hear this translation of this verse is, O my Lord, the person who waits for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and he go on suffering the reaction of his past misdeeds. At the same time, he is offering you obeisances by Ridhavag Vapubir, heart, words, body and words. He is surely eligible for the liberation because it has become his rightful claim. This is very beautiful verse. So, in the regard to this, we know the story of a Brahman in the village called Avanti. That he was a very rich Brahman. He was very, very rich Brahman. And he, at the same time, he was very miser. And he was very stingy. And his relationship with other relatives and family members were very bad. He was insulting everyone. He was not allowing anyone to enjoy also. So everyone become inimical towards him. Everyone become enemy towards him. And this presiding deity of that Brahman, he cursed Brahman. And they took all the wealth from Brahman. So Brahman became poor. And in that poor condition, everyone neglected him. So he became very anxious. He was in a great anxiety what to do. But suddenly he came to the platform where he understood that, oh, what I was doing up till now was totally wrong. What I was earning and collecting, someone else took up and nothing is left for me. So he told that he understood the fickleness of sense gratification and he thought that, okay, now I should accept the life of austerity. So he took sannyas. He took sannyas rod in his hand. He took a ball for bagging and he took the beads and was roaming and wandering all over. And everybody was insulting him with the bad words, either throwing the stone, passing urine or passing air. But he was in a very self-realized condition. He was very poised. And he was thinking that whatever distress I am getting is not because of these people. It's not because of demigods. It's not because of my karma. But it's just because of my mind. Of course, this is a very high platform, and it is not possible to get that this platform unless we have practiced before this platform. So, in the relation to this, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that in 6.2, Yam Sannyasa Iti Prahur Yogam Tam Viddhi Pandava, that this platform of sannyas is same as yoga. That yoga and sannyas is same. How? Because you cannot become yogi or you cannot become sannyasi without giving the desire of sense gratification. Sannyas means a platform of jnana, where you renounce all the fruits of action. And once you renounce all the fruits of action, your mind will not dwell on sense object. And if your mind is not dwelling on sense object, means mind is totally controlled. So you are also a yogi. So one who sees sannyas and yoga are same, they are the true seers. Are you getting the point? So similarly, when we, for example, there is an example when you say that, okay, Manoj Prabhu is like a lion. So when we call Manoj Prabhu as a lion, we call Manoj Prabhu lion because of his quality of bravery. So similarly, when we call a person sannyasi, it is just because of his quality of being in a jnana. Already is renouncing these things. So that's why we are called sannyasi. That's the purport given in the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. For example, when we do our bhakti, depending upon our propensity, this word is used by Jai Jagannath Prabhu, depending upon our propensity, we get different stages of realization. Right? And he gave the analogy of stapler. That when we try to staple a pages, it may seem that we are stapling all the pages at one time. A bunch of paper, when we try to staple it, it seems that we are stapling at one time. But it is not like that. But the pins are passing from one page to other page, successive pages. But we cannot see those stages. Similarly, when we are doing the bhakti, depending upon the stage of our realization, the different layers or different stages of bhakti are coming. We may not be directly conscious of those layers. But, because why we are not conscious? Because these layers or the stages which are occurring, they get subsumed or absorbed in whatever realization we are getting. Are you getting the point? Okay. So, what is the other analogy he gave about the elevator? That when we are passing on the elevator, we are going on the top level, and we reach at the top level, it has been assumed that we are already past the lower levels. Similarly, when we start the process of bhakti, it is assumed that he is already on the above the level of liberation. He has already passed the level of liberation. He is on the Brahma Bhuta platform. For example, a sannyasi was criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being too sentimentalist because he was chanting and dancing. And he was not understanding the level of bhakti he was existing. The same is the thing. When we do nishkam bhakti, that occurs a purification, that comes a level of jnana, and that jnana is an internal substance. And then nishkam karma yoga, which is the external portion, it becomes expression of the internal portion. So it becomes continuous. We don't have to effort to do karma yoga. The karma yoga becomes a spontaneous process. So, after getting this jnana platform, it is recommended to do nishkam karma yoga. And because if we stuck to the jnana platform, there is a chances of falling down because there is no steadiness in the action. But when we do nishkam karma yoga, even if there is a fault in action, because since our actions are steady, our actions are spontaneous, our fault will be corrected. In Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Krishna says that tesham satata yuktanam bhajata priti purvakam. And in this verse, Krishna says that one who are constantly devoted to serve me, to them I give them intelligence by which they come to me. And the purport Prabhupada is writing a very important point that the goal should be very clear. I want to read a small section of that purport. In the purport, Prabhupada is writing that one should know the goal is Krishna. When the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed and the ultimate goal is achieved. Now this is very important. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master. He may be attached to a spiritual organization. But still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instruction so that he ultimately come to him without difficulty. So he has a spiritual master. He is attached to organization, but he is not intelligent to follow the instruction. For him, Krishna makes arrangement that he can come to the level of perfection. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Now, same thing is given in Bhagavatam. There is a verse called Yan astaya nararajan na pramadeta karkichit dhava na nimilavanetra na skhalet na patet iha. Means that, O Rajan, O king, Narad Muni is saying that, O king, the person who has taken this path of devotional service, he will never get bewildered. Even if he is running with his closed eyes, he will never fall or he will never trip. He will never stumble on this path. And the purport, the same thing is written in this, that in this purport of this verse, that one who has taken the Bhagavad Dharma, he will never stumble even if he is running with his closed eyes. And Bhagavad Gita 10:11, very next verse, Krishna is telling that Tesham eva anukampartham, that being satisfied with their devotional service, I give them understanding. I, with the shining lamp of knowledge dwelling in their heart, burns up all the reaction, means burns up the darkness, destroy the darkness born of the ignorance. So Krishna will provide, the whole purpose of this, that Krishna will provide you the necessary intelligence if you are sincere enough in your devotional service. And that was happening with Chitraketu, that even he has offended Mother Parvati and Lord Shiva because of his being a devotee. Krishna was giving him chance to get a birth as a demon. Now, it is recommended that, okay, the Krishna may guide us from inside, but actually our process is we should approach the bona fide spiritual master. Because in 4:34, Arjuna is asking Krishna, how we can approach the self-realized soul? Because self-realized soul, they are totally indifferent to the suffering and enjoyment of the people in the world. Because they will never hear, because people are too much absorbed in the suffering and enjoyment, that they will never hear. Then Krishna says that, for example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left Navadvip. Why he left Navadvip? Because there were too much mundane scholarship was there and no one was ready to hear. So he went to South India for preaching. So Krishna says in this regard that no, don't worry. Depending upon your propensity to hear, which is manifested as pariprathena, pariprashena and sevaya, means submission and ready to hear, giving up your conception and ready to hear the conception of sadhu. That is the first qualification. Second qualification, pariprashena, inquiry, who am I, why am I suffering, what is the swarupa of Krishna, that is the second question. And third is seva. And it is said that without seva, submission and inquiry will not work. And without serious spirit of investigation, the seva and submission will also not work. So all three processes are required, and without this three process, there is no hearing or no remembrance. For example, then Jayajaya Prabhu gives the example that many Hindu people come to a temple. They do many seva, they do many services. But when we try to change the conception of the absolute truth, they even don't have the conception of absolute truth. But we try to change the conception of the absolute truth, they will never be ready to change. And so the Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita for that person that Agnanasya Ashraddhanasya, after two words only, Samshayatma Vinashyati. That means those who are Agnan, those who are ignorant, those who don't have any knowledge of scripture, ashraddhanashya, those who don't have faith in the scriptures, those who know this, and the third one is a doubtful people. samshayatma. Doubtful people. Means they have faith in the scripture, but they are doubting the attainment of goal. And that is the position of the so-called pious Hindu Indian peoples. I think we are discussing on the breakfast table that how American people are different from the Hindu people. And I was trying to stress the same point that, okay, it was in American people, everything was clean slate. There was a blank slate. But they had never doubted Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came over here, they never doubted Prabhupada. They just accepted Krishna as it is. And so Krishna consciousness movement flourished over here. But when Prabhupada was trying the same thing in India, the people were knowing the scripture. People were having the faith in scripture, but they were doubting about the attainment of goal. They were doubting whether they will be able to reach the final goal or not. So Prabhupada told that I was trying to make one single Brahmin over there. I can make over there. And here I got so many people who helped me. So that was a situation. So if you have any doubt regarding the spiritual objective, it is better to consult the spiritual master, approach and get a faith, because faith steadies our determination. If we don't have faith, our faith doesn't increase, our determination will not increase, and we will never come out of our own thinking, our own world, our own mediocrity. Right? So different stages of bhakti is a different stages of faith. We often heard many times in the lecture, Shraddha, faith, Nishtha, faith. Faith, 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 all the way to faith, faith. That means the faith at every stage become more and more condensed. So faith should be there. Without faith, if our bhakti is weak, or if our determination is weak, that means our faith is weak. This Bhagavad Dharma, in conclusion, is very, very safest dharma. There are 9 different processes given to us. Hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. Any of the 9 processes, we take one process, we will able to perfect our life. But even if we are not intelligent to do this, hearing, chanting, or do this, but we take a remnants, uchista lepan, we take even remnants, we take a charnamrit, we take a tulsi, or we do menial service, that will also help us to perfect our lives. Prahlad Maharaj said that kaumaram acharet pragno dharmam bhagavata iya durlabha manushya deha. That is, human life is very rare. It's very rare. It is temporary, but it is full of meaning. So, sooner the better we take this process. And if we take this process, we'll be at the safest point. Otherwise, we'll go on speculating. And it is said that patyanto adho anadar yushmad angraya, that we will fall down. We are speculating that we are at the position, at higher position. But we are in a speculation. And we'll fall down because we have rejected the lotus feet of Krishna. That was the thing I was hoping to share with you. Any comments?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. That was a very nice discussion. In support of your point that for those who prematurely renounce and try to take like a position of sannyas or any position that's more renounced than is actually their adhikar, it will be dangerous for them. So in support of that point, I always have appreciated this verse in the beginning of the 6th chapter of the Gita, where Krishna says that for the neophyte in yoga, work is the means.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, Nishkam Karma Yoga. And for the mature yogi, then cessation from all material activities. So in that spirit, Prabhupada would say, work now and samadhi later. And it's a very nice topic. So thank you for
also
speaking.
Also the 6th yeah, one. You know the 6th one? Anashita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya. Means once you attain that jnana platform, the sannyasi will not stop working. It will continuously work. Sannyasi doesn't mean that renunciation, renouncing anything. But he will work. The meaning of this verse, the translation of this verse is anashita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya na sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na nir agni na cha akriya. Means that the person who is renouncing anashita karma phalam, he is giving up all fruits of action. Karyam karma karotiya, he is working as if obliged to do the work. He is actually the sannyasi, not the person who does not light the fire, he doesn't do any prescribed duty, or who doesn't do any work for the maintenance of the body. That is not called sannyas. That is called falgu vairagya. And because that is without inner substance, it is just a material action. The spiritual objective is not clear, and there is chances not chances, he will definitely fall down. And as you told in 6.3, it is mentioned that Aruruksha and Aruruda, the person who are in Aruruksha, for them, for the purification, they has to work. And for that purification, will help them to attain the steadiness of jnana. And then they can abstain the world. And for Aruda, if the, so the same person who is in the level, who has reached the level of steadiness, he has to give all the action. Because if he do some work, that will disturb his samadhi. So we often sometimes see that sometimes people chant 160 rounds or 190 rounds. They are qualified. We can sit in the temple and do this. We have our service, right? I think Vimanshu, we are sharing the same thing. Everyone is, it's like Varnashram. We have to go for our books. Otherwise, we will fall down.
Hare Krishna. So, thank you for your class. There's two statements in this purport that maybe you could try to speak on it a little bit also, just because I want to hear more about these two points. If you look at the first paragraph, Prabhupada says something very interesting here. He says that Chitraketu, he knew that he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or Goddess Parvati, yet he had been punished, and this means that the punishment had been ordained, thus the king did not mind it. And then if you look at the last paragraph, go to the middle of the third paragraph, there's a statement here where it says, a devotee is always eager to return home back to Godhead and remain there as the Lord's associate. This ambition becomes increasingly fervent in his heart, and therefore he does not care about material changes in his life. Seems like there's a relationship between what the devotee is experiencing internally and his view of how he sees the world around him, you know. So could you just, I think sometimes also devotees, we sometimes think like, oh, I made an offense, but maybe sometimes we don't even understand what it means to actually offend. And Chitraketu, even though he cracked a joke, he was very confident, I didn't make any offenses. That's why he knew that this punishment was ordained. So I'm just, it's not very, could you speak about these two points a little bit?
Sure. Okay. The first point, he knew that he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or Goddess Parvati, yet he had been punished, and this means that punishment had been ordained. So, this line, different people view in a different perspective. For some people, it is offense. How many people think that it is offense? Can anyone raise their hand? How many people think that Chitraketu has committed offense by criticizing Lord Shiva? 1, 2, 3. So three people think that their Chitraketu had committed offense. And the other people think that he had not committed offense. So what is the reason behind this? Why you think that he has not created offense then? What is that? Why he has committed offense? Yes. So, yeah, the Lord Shiva was knowing the purpose behind it.
A person who loves you can put the check. I took it like that, that, you know, they both are very good friends, you know, in friendship it's okay to, you know, there's a little humor or something, it's okay. But maybe a loving parent or a loving teacher or a well-wisher can caution you, you know, be careful, you know, don't become too familiar in the relationship just because there is a friendship. I took it like that.
Yeah, that's a good way of, yeah. The thing is that Lord Shiva has never taken it as an offense. We'll come to Mother Parvati later on. But first of all, the Lord Shiva and the saints over there, it's written in the purport afterwards also, they never took it as offense. But Lord Shiva took it, this criticism is a positive criticism. Because I told in my last class also, that he was trying to stop Lord Shiva behaving externally so that people stop following the same thing. Yadyat acharati shrestha tattat eva tarajana. Following the example of Lord Shiva, people think that, okay, Lord Shiva is doing, now we should also do this. We can go to the Bhagavad class, we can do the same thing. And it has happened. And I have got a great big conflict with my parents with them. He's a good reciter of Bhagavatam, and he was sitting with his son-in-law on the lap. This has happened in India. Son-in-law in the head, the small baby. And I told that, and he was like, see, he's maintaining child, sorry, grandson, sorry. Sorry, thank you for correcting. Prabhu told me, son-in-law, who is that person? Sorry, the son of his son-in-law. The grandson. Okay, confusion clear. Grandson. Okay, confusion clear, grandson. Now let's go to the point. Now this is the true story. Okay, laugh as much as you can, then I can. So this is a true story. No, not at all. See, the half answer has been given. So the thing is that he was sitting with his grandson on the lap. And my parent was just appreciating that thing. Wow, see, he was giving the good example to the world that you should maintain the family. You should sit with your grandson and do Bhagavad Sapta. And I was so furious. I thought, this is not possible. This is the wrong example. And I told that he's giving a wrong example to the people. Or maybe he is giving the right example. He's qualified enough to do that thing. That means we are not qualified enough to do this thing. So Lord Shiva was doing, Lord Shiva was qualified. And he was criticizing Lord Shiva to stop behaving externally. But his way of criticism was wrong. His way of telling was wrong. Like, you can go in the assembly of Shiva and say, hey, Shiva, what you are doing wrong? Arey yaar, please go inside and do this. This is wrong way of doing, saying. You can say Lord Shiva like this way. So his way of approach was wrong. Otherwise, he was right. His way of saying was right, but what he was saying was right, but his way of saying was wrong. So Mother Parvati corrected him. She was a bit angry. And I think Prabhu told that if the body doesn't take offense, but Mataji can take offense. But Mother Parvati is above the Mata. She is the mother of the whole Devi Dham. So she doesn't take it off. She was in a very poised condition. So she doesn't curse Chitraketu because of her anger, inner anger. But she cursed Chitraketu to correct him, that this is not a kind of attitude expected from a Vaishnava to other Vaishnava. So, for example, in an assembly of Vaishnava also, suppose someone has created offense to you, then we might approach that person and say that, Prabhu, this is not the way to talk with that person. You should behave in a proper way. And depending upon your level of qualification, you might give punishment to that person. So depending upon the mother of Devi Dham, the whole, she is the president, Obama. When you say to Obama and said, Obama, you are playing with your wife in the garden and there is a Senate meeting going on over there. So he has qualification of everything. Get out of my country, or you are in the jail, or you do. So depending upon qualification, you get a punishment. So he has got a punishment according to the qualification. Now, should I go on second line, or you want to continue? Okay.
My concern wasn't so much that trying to figure out if he made a mistake or didn't make a mistake or all that ramifications of it. What the point that's really touching my heart was that he was so confident that he hadn't made an offense. So he understood that the punishment that's coming is by the Lord's mercy. This seems to show that there is some deep confidence in his relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
And this is the point that I'm trying to understand more deeply.
I think he was not even caring for the punishment. His mind was totally attached to Krishna. So for him, everything is external. His inner substance, his inner goal was very clear. So whatever is coming is ordained by Krishna. It's very high position. Sometimes it's often come to our level also, sometimes, that we get disturbed. Okay, Krishna, there's Krishna's hand in this. And we become silent. Sometimes it happens. For me, it's like once in a year. That situation comes, but he was in that platform of, very high platform of jnana, self-realized soul, where he sees everything has been taken care of by Krishna. And that's a level of the very high devotee. it occurs in our movement also, in our surrounding also, where the people are so much strong, like our spiritual master. They're not moved or not shackled by the external things. They become calm and sit quiet. But for us, we react the situation. For me, particularly, react the situation. But it happens sometimes that we understand, okay, now it's... And have you seen that? Have you had the feeling? Sometimes when you think, okay, Krishna is taking care now. I should not interfere with the situation. And you become... So for him, it was nothing. It was external. For him, his inner realization was more important. Swarga, apavarga, narkasya. Who cares for that thing? I am in the temple. I am chanting my rounds. I am happy with the devotees. He was happy with that consciousness. I am happy with my consciousness.
We shouldn't, this is partly humorous, hopefully, we shouldn't necessarily polarize ourselves whether there was an offense or not. Because if we say there was an offense, you know, Lord Shiva and Chitraketu may not appreciate us too much. And if we say there was no offense, Mother Parvati will talk to us later. So we're looking at it objectively. The issue was that he didn't say anything wrong. He just didn't say it was not necessary for him to say. That's what is being corrected. Now in this statement that Himanshu read, to me it means that Chitraketu looked within his heart first to say, did I mean it in any way, in a wrong way to Lord Shiva? After he had thoroughly checked his heart, and he said, no, I didn't intend in any way wrong to Lord Shiva. Yet, my mother has cursed me. Which means, I'll just take it as Krishna wants something from me. And in such a situation, let me see what I can do in such a way that my remembrance of Krishna or my service to Krishna is deepened or strengthened. Similar is Ambarish Maharaj. He consulted the Brahmins. They told him, you can sip a little water. But Durvasa Muni took offense for it. But Ambarish Maharaj didn't commit an offense. So he just said, I'll just remember Lord Krishna. And that is why he was fearless. If we commit an offense, then we're afraid. What will happen? But he was not afraid. Chitraketu was not afraid. That's why the verse is, na bibhyati. There's nothing to be afraid of because they haven't done anything for which there will be a negative reaction. So Krishna wants to reciprocate with me in this way. Fine. That's the fearlessness.
So I was comparing the same situation with the life of devotees, sadhakas. So I was trying to explain the sadhaka way that sometimes it happens in our life that we often experience a fearlessness if you're not getting an offense. And that courage is coming because Krishna is inside and so become stable. Same thing. I was talking on base of my realization. I think I didn't answer the second answer.
My other just related was, even if there was an offense, then a devotee who's fully surrendered to Krishna, I mean, because you're saying, okay, because he didn't commit an offense, therefore he's confident that he can just depend on Krishna. If a devotee is fully surrendered, even if he makes an offense, he's still going to see anything as just Krishna's mercy. It's not that it's only because, oh, I didn't offend, so therefore it's Krishna's mercy. Just another thought.
Yeah,
that's right. Not the defining point. The defining point is that he's surrendered. So whatever comes, if there's some accident or he's doing his duty properly, he just sees everything as Krishna.
Well, the question is now coming to a level, how much we are surrendered. But depending upon surrender, we get a realization of Krishna. I can talk about Ambarish Maharaj, I can talk about, but up to my level, I can see my level, I am surrendered 50%, so that's what Krishna is revealing me. I cannot be stable at all times. So yeah, you're right. Person who is 100% surrendered, he sees everything in the hand of Krishna. That's a very high platform. That's a very beautiful. Yeah, that's a very obvious statement. That's a very obvious statement. But to grasp it practically, it's difficult for me right now. Theoretically, it's very true statement. It's very true. But when we Are you accepting the same thing in your life? And how many percent are you accepting it? When I'm seeing it myself, I'm thinking that, okay, 50 or 60%, not more than that. So that's why the realization is not coming immediately to me right now. That, okay, how can I think that everything is handled by Krishna? Are you getting the point, Prabhu? Okay, thank you. I'm explaining my situation. Second thing was, a devotee is always eager to return home back to Godhead and remain there as a Lord associate. So I told that he was not concerned with the external situation. He was an internal thing. And he was happy, wherever he was happy to preach the message of God. Wherever he go, hell, heaven, or liberated condition, he knows what his duty was. For example, Prabhupada, he can stay in Vrindavan. He could have stayed in Vrindavan forever. He doesn't have to come to the out of Vrindavan also. But he moved out to give the Krishna consciousness to us. And if he has not come over here, the East people will be also in the darkness. So he has given up everything in his life just to give the Krishna consciousness. That was a mood of Chaitaketu, wherever he goes. And Prabhupada was always missing Vrindavan, right? He was telling that, I miss my Vrindavan. But if I go to Vrindavan, that is Maya. So for Chaitaketu, the same thing was there. He knew that he was going back home to Godhead. But more than him, going back to Godhead, his internal mood was very... He was already at the back of God. He was already there, in his internal mood with Krishna. So he was happy.
Yeah, in the second line, this ambition becomes increasingly fervent in his heart, and therefore does not care about material changes. I was just thinking of that verse that comes in Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojana Janyati Asivaya. So by bhakti, naturally causeless knowledge and detachment develop, detachment from externals to the degree that one's bhakti awakens, that degree one's detached from material upheavals, up and downs. And it was mentioned also in the purport, these reversals. So just a thought on that other line.
There was a comment from Chitendra Prabhu when we were sitting on the breakfast table. When we try to change the conception of Indian people, they say that, I'm sorry, you want to add that thing? Tulsi on my... That's okay. We can talk in the breakfast. He was saying that they eat chicken and they say that, I want to put tulsi on my chicken. So let me put it. Okay. Any comments? You want to add something? Go look. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai.